Think about your own life. Have you ever made a bad decision and then suffered the consequences? Well, maybe I should have asked, has anyone here ever not had that situation? I think probably we all have, if we think about it a little bit. We thought it was going to be a good thing. It didn't turn out well. Let me give you a few examples here. Have you ever taken a wrong job offer? So let's say you had multiple offers. You took the wrong one, and what did it lead to? It led to stress. It led to uncertainty. It was miserable, and you're thinking, oh, I should have taken that other job instead. Or maybe when you were younger, maybe when you were a teenager, maybe you chose the wrong friends, and maybe those friends led you into criminal activity. Or maybe you decided to invest in the stock market and you made some choices on stocks and you're like, oh, these look like really good ones and I think I'm gonna make money, and it ended up being a financial loss because they went in the other direction. There are all kinds of poor decisions we can easily make in life. What I'm trying to say here today in this sermon today, which is part one of a two-part sermon series, I want us to get thinking about knowing God's will, and knowing God's will is best. And when we know God's will is best, and we actually know what it is, and we actually follow it, that's going to be a good thing for us now and forever. That's where I'm going here today. Well, before we get to knowing God's will, we need to get to this idea here. Why is God's will best? So this is really the first section of the sermon. So this is the big picture of what God has done for us and wants to do for us. Let me just give you a few points here. First of all, God is the one who made us. If God would not have made us, none of us would exist. So God made us. And then, amazingly, God loves us. So we're not such lovable people, but amazingly, God loves us. And God loves us not because we are lovable. God loves us because God is love. Also, God provides us whatever we need. In the Psalms, it says that God opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. God is so good to us. And then, what is the ultimate thing God did for us? We just celebrated it here recently. God sent his only Son into the world to do for us what we can never do for ourselves. So he came to live that sinless life that God requires of us, and then he took our sins, he took our eternal punishment, he laid down his life, and now he is our risen Savior. He made the way to heaven for everyone. In summary, God wants to bless us now and forever. So we might ask the question here, to what are God's blessings connected then? I want to share with you a couple Bible passages here. So Moses said these words to the people of Israel shortly before they crossed the Jordan River and entered into the Promised Land. He said to them, "The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes." What is a statute? It's a command of God, but it's indicating something that we owe to God. So I just went through that list on how God has made us and saved us and provides for us. So because of what God has done for us, we have an obligation back to God. We owe him certain things. So again, Moses said, "The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival." A lot of people in the world do not fear God. They do not respect him. They do not reverence him. They do not love him. They do not trust in him. And for such people, it's not going to turn out well. But God is saying to us, when those things I just mentioned are true of us, that's going to be for our good always and for our survival. Here's another passage. Also in Deuteronomy, the Lord gave ancient Israel two options here. He said, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God. What does it mean to listen? Doesn't mean just to hear, but it means to hear, it means to understand, it means to have the desire within us that we want to make application of those commandments in our lives. May God work all of that within each of us so we have the blessing of God resting upon us. But what did God also say? The other option is the curse if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God. God doesn't want that for anyone. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us now and forever, but he's giving us a choice here. We can go the way of blessing or we can go the way of curse. The way of blessing is to know God's will and to follow it, and that's what this brochure is about. We're trying to get at how can we know the will of God, how can we put it into practice, and that's going to be a wonderful thing for us. Well, before I get to that, even when we listen to God, he permits difficulties into our lives. So we might say, hey, wait a minute, Pastor, I am trying to seek out the will of God, I am listening to God, I am trying to put it into practice in my life, and yet, sometimes, my life can be very difficult. What's going on here? Let me give you four things here where God is working in our lives through the difficulties in order to be a blessing to us and also to work through us to be a blessing to others. Let me give you all four of them there. So I want to talk about trials, discipline, afflictions, and suffering. So first of all, through trials, what is God doing? God is permitting trials into our lives in order to build up our endurance. In other words, we know the phrase that people use today, no pain, no gain. So we understand that. How many of us have made maybe a New Year's resolution where we're going to say, hey, I'm willing to endure some pain here because I want this particular gain? Well, maybe you've done that. And if you've done that, I hope you can stick with it and actually get the gain that you're hoping to get. If you take a look at James chapter 1, it's all laid out there in verses 2, 3, and 4. Also, too, he's working through discipline in order to train us to live as his holy children. So through Christ, we are already holy when God looks upon us. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but God wants us now to live that out. He wants us to show that we are his holy children as we live day by day, so God is disciplining us. Think about how parents, when parents are functioning properly and they love their children, what do? They discipline them. They're trying to mold them into these God-fearing children that will grow up to be God-fearing adults and honor him in their lives. Is that always pleasant for the kids? It's not. Is it always pleasant when God disciplines us? It's not. But let's understand, it truly is for our good. What about with afflictions? God uses afflictions in our lives to be able to help another person going through that same affliction or maybe something similar. I think about a member of Bethlehem years ago, and he had a particular affliction, but it was not known to very many people. It was a hidden affliction, but he told me about it, though, and it's something he had been suffering with for, I think at the time I met him, maybe 20-some years. Like, if he wouldn't have told me, I never would have known. And then he ended up having a coworker end up in the hospital, and the coworker came down with the same affliction that he had been living with for 20-some years. When he went to visit the coworker in the hospital, the coworker told him, he said, my life is over. Because of what I have, I just want to die. And then the member here at Bethlehem, he reached up and he pulled the curtain closed. And he had to do something to lift up his shirt. And he showed the man his affliction. And when he showed him, now this man had been working with him for like 20 years. He never even knew that he had this affliction. In other words, from an outward appearance, he was living like a normal life. And when this man saw that his friend from work had this same affliction, it was a complete life changer. He's like, you've been functioning like this all this time, and I didn't even know. And now I understand that I can now go forward, and I can function like that too, and everything is going to be fine. So he went from wanting to die to being ready to live, because this man had suffered this affliction, and then he shared it with this man, and it made just such a complete difference. So when we are going through a great difficulty, let's accept it from God, and let's understand he is equipping us to be able to help someone else. Like, I could have gone and visited that man, but would that have made much of a difference? It wouldn't have. But with the person having the same affliction, oh, it made all the difference in the world. What about with suffering? God uses suffering in our lives. Now, if we're suffering and God's disciplining us, that's for us. Sometimes we can suffer, and it's not for us, but it's for others when they see how we are suffering. For example, it's important that we suffer with peace. So even though we're suffering, we know our sins are forgiven, and that's even greater than the suffering we are enduring. We should suffer with patience, understanding that God knows exactly what's going on, and when the timing is right according to God's timing, God is going to relieve the suffering. And we should also suffer without complaint, understanding that God has permitted what is going on, and God is in control of the entire situation. Is all of that like so much easier said than done? By all means, but these are important things, though, that God wants us to have in our lives. A couple more things I want to mention here. So God has planned certain good works for each believer in Jesus. So if you look in Ephesians chapter 2, such a beautiful beginning of that chapter, where in the first three verses, it tells us that we're sinful, we're dead, and we're helpless. There's nothing we can do to fix it. And then we come to verse 4 and following, and it tells about everything God has done in order to save us and make us his holy children. And then we get to verse 10, and it's telling us that God has certain plans that he has put in place for every single child of God. What should be the question for us? Should we be saying, what am I interested in? What do I want to do? No, rather it should be saying, Lord, you have given me life. You have saved me. I know you have a plan for me, so I'm asking you to make your plan known to me. So this is getting at this importance of knowing God's will. So it's not always easy to figure out, but we're going to talk about some steps on how we can know that. I believe that when we go our own way and do our own thing, it's not going to turn out so well. When we are open to knowing and following the will of God, things are going to fall into place in a way we never thought possible. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week. The other important thing to keep in mind here is that God can accomplish anything through us. If I pick up this pen, I can, with the blessing of God, I'm able to write. So I can write all kinds of different things, but is the pen really doing anything? No, the pen is just an inanimate object in my fingers, but yet I'm the one who's using the pen to accomplish something. God wants us to understand that we are like the pen. I'm a nobody, but God's able to grab a hold of me, and God's able to use me to hopefully make a positive difference in somebody's life. So God wants us to understand. You can take a look there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, but it says, though, that God can do like anything we can think about. God can do it through us. And the Bible also says, even beyond our wildest imagination, hey, God can do that through us too. So there is no limit here. So God wants us to know when we're seeking out his will, we shouldn't say, well, I think, God, that maybe you might want me to do this or this or this. No, the thing is wide open. God can do anything through us. He wants us to be encouraged by that. He wants us to know that is true. So with all of that said, I hope I've answered a little bit the question, why is God's will best? And now we're going to begin to get into just a little bit of how we can know God's will. I'm going to share with you five different things here in the rest of the series, but I'm only going to do part one here for today. But just to give you the five, though, so how can we know God's will? Through the Bible, by carefully listening to God, through prayer, by talking to God, through advice. Now, it's important here that we are receiving advice from Christians who believe and live in agreement with the Bible. We can get all kinds of bad advice, so we want to be very careful who we are getting advice from. I'll talk about that next week. Also, with our circumstances, we should be open to all the different possibilities, not closed down thinking, oh, God could never do this or this. I better kind of cut it back myself. No, we want to be open to all these different things. And then finally, over a period of time, sometimes when we act on the spur of the moment, we're not giving God the opportunity to confirm something. When we're making a big decision, we don't want to make it right on the spot. I think about a member of Bethlehem years ago, and he came to church on Sunday, and he said, Pastor, last Thursday I bought a new car. And then he proceeded to tell me that he was driving home from work, and he had this idea come into his mind about getting a new car. So he stopped at the dealership, he traded in the old car, and he bought the new one. And then when he got home, he said to his wife, hey, I got a surprise, I got a new car today. Like he didn't even like think it through other than like a last minute thing, I'm gonna get a new car. Well, his wife was a real nice lady and it worked out okay. But I mean, that's not something to like decide like as you're driving home from work. You wanna do your research, you wanna get the right car, you wanna get the right price, you wanna get the right options, you wanna think it through. So it's good to have something over a period of time. And something else too, I learned from my son-in-law, Matt, I learned about budgeting. Kathy and I have always been careful with our money, conservative, and it's always worked out okay. God has blessed us. But learning about budgeting, though, from Matt, here's what happened. We decide we want to buy something, but if we decide in advance, and then we're saving up money for a little while in order to do it, in order to make the purchase, what's going on there? Now, we are doing our research on the item we're buying, and we're gonna make sure that we're buying the right item that we really wanna get. So we had that time factor in there that enabled us to get a better product. Well, we'll talk more about that next time, but I wanna get to just the first one here. So on the Bible, we're talking here about listening to God. So the idea would be that we're listening not only to hear, but to understand and to apply God's word to our lives. The Bible is God's word to us. So you're probably familiar with the passage here in 2 Peter. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So think about the word of God coming out of the mouth of God the Father, in a sense. And then the Holy Spirit is taking that word of God. And then the Holy Spirit is moving the prophets and the apostles to write down that very word of God. So those men didn't say, oh, I'm going to write a book today. And they wrote down their own ideas. The Spirit of God was moving them to write down the very words of God. Let's understand that's what we have in the Holy Bible. And then let's always know the Bible is true. Think about what the psalmist said there in Psalm 119, 160. Praying to God, he said, the sum of your word is truth. The sum of your word is truth. Let's always be confident. We go to the Bible and we know it is true. Let's understand that the Bible will benefit us in many ways. There in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it starts off by saying all scripture is inspired by God. In other words, all scripture is God breathed. And then it tells us that all scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Oh, so much could be said about those words, but understand the Spirit of God wants to work through the Word of God to bless us so very much. And part of that blessing is helping us to know the will of God. Since the Bible is God's word to us, let us read it confidently, knowing it is true, never doubting it at all. Let us read it faithfully, spending some time in the Bible every day. Even if you don't have a lot of time, spend a little bit of time in the Bible every day. Let us read it thoughtfully. In other words, we're carefully considering what it says. So we don't want to make a wrong decision that leads to financial loss. We especially don't want to go against the Almighty God and walk away from the Almighty God. We want to listen to what He is saying. We want to pay attention to that in a very serious way. And finally, let us do so prayerfully. So as we're reading the Bible, we are saying, "Dear Holy Spirit, help me to rightly understand it and move me to put this word of God into practice in my own life." Those are some things I wanted to say about the Bible. So that is really the most important way that we know the will of God. But I'm going to come to the other four here next time. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for showing us your will in many ways. Oftentimes, it's not that we don't know it, but the problem is we oftentimes don't do it. We are tempted. We think somehow our way is better, and we just pray that you would help us to repent of that way of looking at how we go forward in our lives. Convince us that your word is best. Help us to be in it. Help us to understand it. Help us to make application in our lives. Help us to do so unto your glory, and help us to do so for our good in this life and also for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.